greetings, earthlings, I was going to say. Where did that come from, Anna? This is a great start to the podcast.
Hello, earthlings. Yeah. What program's that from? I remember it. I am an earthling. Are you an earthling?
Yes, I am an earthling. And today you have three earthlings because you buy two and you get one free on our podcast today. Another guest. Can you believe this, Anna? It seems like every other week there's another guest.
It's been amazing, hasn't it? We've had a run of so many inspiring, incredible people to talk to. I'm excited about today's guest.
Yeah, today we are going to meet. In fact, let's just welcome you straight in. Aaron of the Walker, representing Donnie, also Slimming World's Man of the Year. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Ah, yes, we've been watching you, following you from afar as you kind of found your crown and wore it so brightly. And we mentioned you a few episodes ago because you were part of Slimming World's London Marathon team. How was that?
Oh, it was an incredible day. It's such a pleasure to be part of such an amazing team. You know, everyone on that team was sort of gelling together really well, like in the build-up. We all raised quite a lot of money for Slimming World charity partners as well, which was amazing. And yeah, it was just an incredible day. It was definitely one of the hardest things I've ever done, but yeah, worth it.
I bet you felt so smug after you'd done it, like, yes, I've nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah, it took a while to actually sort of settle in that I just ran a marathon, like, yeah, it was hard to believe.
Yeah. And an amazing journey that you have been on, you know, losing over 14 stone. You put on an Instagram post only a couple of months ago how 2 years ago you were struggling even to walk, and then you have just completed a marathon. And not just a marathon, but all the training that comes with that, other half marathons along the way. It'd be fascinating for us to kind of get into the mindset of what was life like for you 2 years ago when you were even struggling to walk.
So I think that is one of the why I kind of got a bit emotional on the finish line in London, was that actually when you think of that 2 years ago, just a simple like dog walk with the family, it was hard work and I sort of was struggling. And as much as I didn't let that show that it was getting to me, it's hard to see sort of your family go off and on a nice Sunday afternoon and walk the dog and you not be able to sort of keep up with them. I don't think I realised how much it affected me until after I've lost all the weight. To think of that and then to think all the miles that I put in training, which I think added up to about, I think it was just short of 700 miles since Christmas, up until the actual marathon day. So busy couple of months on the lead up training, and it all went down to that one day. It was just mind-blowing, really.
Wow.
I bet they can't believe it now, can they, your family? I bet you're like first one taking the dog for a walk. They're all like chill.
Yeah, it's like, come on, we're off.
How special. Are you feeling like it's almost like in 2 years you've changed your life, undoubtedly, haven't you, in the last 2 years?
Yeah, massively. I mean, I think before I used to just kind of sit in the house and not really do anything, whereas now I've got a hobby, which it's not an exactly expensive one, because I'm just out running, you know, getting out there in the streets and sort of running about. But yeah, I enjoy it. I've got friends that now do it with them, and yeah, it's just a completely different way of life.
Yeah. We thought we'd kind of tap into this idea about men's health. There's something that Slimming World has looked into in their research team and this Match Obesity report, which we'll mention a bit more of that in a moment. What does health mean to you now, Aaron?
So now for me, I would say it's more about just being able to I don't want to say to fit in, because I think I fit in before, but I'm not self-conscious. I'm not, you know, the anxiety is not there, and I think I can just do what I want to do, and I don't have to worry about my weight and how that's affecting my life, because that's not a concern to me anymore. I do think there is a lot of pressure when it comes to sort of men's health to think, oh, you need to be in the gym, heavy weights. Certainly from what I see as being sort of a younger younger male as well, sort of the TikToks, the Instagrams, the social media side of it, you see a lot of young men and they're there and they've got the muscles and they're throwing the weights around in the gym, and for me that was never that never worked for me. One, confidence wise, walking into a gym 14 stone ago would never have happened. So it's just finding something that sort of fits and works for you and fits in with your lifestyle as well, because sometimes you don't have the time to be in the gym 2, 3 hours a day, whereas a half an hour little run around the block that kind of fit in a lot as well.
Was your changes more mental health, do you think, than physical health?
Yeah, definitely. I think confidence grown massively. I mean, obviously there's a lot of physical benefits that have come with, the changes that I've made, whether that be sort of diet wise or whether that be the physical side from obviously all the sort of the training and the running that I have been doing. But yeah, massive difference. I mean, I'm so much more happier now. Like I say, I'm not as self-conscious as what I used to be. I always remember walking, shopping. Used to hate it. Now my bank card's getting a beating all the time. Any excuse to buy a new outfit? Yeah, just.
You know, it's the things that you talk about, I know, will be making a lot of people think, and particularly the men listening, because even looking through this research that Slimming World had done quite a number of years ago, but I think that the themes and the sentiment around it are still just as prevalent, if not more, because these days, you know, we do talk about mental health a lot more than has been previously. But in the research, it talked about 1 in 4 men have a BMI that puts them in the obese category, and 2 out of 3 are overweight or obese. So that's a lot more people than I think most people would assume. 1 in 4, that's pretty high. But it also talked about weight issues can also affect mental well-being, impact on social lives, and even cause depression. You know, so these are some of the things that I think that you're reflecting to us there. Do you think that enough people talk about that aspect, men in particular, about that mental side of what it's like, you know, being overweight?
No, definitely not. And I think 2 years ago, I wouldn't have talked about it. I don't think I would have admitted 2 years ago that I was probably in the lowest place I've ever been before I walked back through them doors at Slimming World. Because it's just not the done thing to do. Obviously now, 2 years later, obviously lost all the weight and sort of just radiating with my confidence and how I feel, I can happily admit that, yeah, I was in a low point. And that I think that's why I've gone on to do so well this time. So I kind of knew deep down I needed to make a change, but just admitting that and took a while to sort of get going. And then when I started seeing the sort of the pounds drop on the scale every week, it was that push to sort of keep going. And then you start feeling better mentally, but then also physically you start feeling better as well, which sort of the two kind of go hand in hand. But yeah, I do think it is important to speak a lot more about it, because it's there'll be men out there that are going through the same thing that I went through 2 years ago, and they just need to, listen to their own body. They probably know deep down that they need to make a change, and what a better way to do that than when you can still eat all the foods that you can on Slimming World.
You know, it's so interesting you talk about you probably wouldn't have admitted that 2 years ago. I'm very privileged in my job. I meet so many men that walk through the doors of my physical groups and online. And I think what I see that's different to women, and men need to know that's safe about groups and the online community, is that you can open up at your own pace. Like, I've got so many men who have lost weight and then said, look, this has helped me do X, Y, and Z. And it's knowing that you've got a safe space where no one's going to judge you when you walk in, isn't it? And actually, a lot of men are kind of put off by the scenario of slimming groups and being a female-dominated kind of area. And it's actually knowing it doesn't matter who you are, we're all on the same struggles, aren't we? I mean, did you feel like it was key that you've got that support to make those changes and benefit your mental health?
See, again, I don't think when I was making them changes, I was conscious about the effect it would have on my mental health to begin with. I think that the changes were more one, how I looked in the mirror, and two, sort of the fact it was getting to the point where it was physically, it was taking a toll on me. You know, I was like I mentioned earlier, I was struggling to sort of walk and was out of breath. So I think initially I wasn't concentrating on the mental health aspect, but then naturally that came with, yeah, that kind of happened and sort of helped me grow and develop because of the physical and the weight loss changes that came.
I'm intrigued to know, like, what do your guy mates, family members, or colleagues think of the changes that you've made?
So they've all been so supportive. Cut out the beer, I'll be honest. I think that was a big thing, you know, and certainly that, again, that perception of men drink beer, not gin and tonics. Well, sorry, I now drink gin and tonics all the time. That's my sort of go-to gin and slim line. But yeah, they've all been incredibly supportive. Some of them, you know, have asked questions, and I've inspired other men, similar age sort of friends, to, you know, to that haven't quite gotten through the doors of the slimming world yet, but certainly to make changes, whether that just be sort of going on to their own healthy eating plan or going out and getting the steps in. So I've inspired them to do that as well.
That's what it's about, isn't it? It's about creating these ripples, and you kind of go to lose weight for one particular reason. It could be a really big reason. But then all these other little knock-on effects, it's like a domino effect in your life, because it does, like me and Anna have talked about how it's changed everything. It's changed our careers, it's changed our friends. I don't know, just every aspect of my life in a strange way has been positively impacted. And I realize for me, like that play between my emotions, money, and food were so entwined with each other. And food was whether I was feeling happy or sad, and money with that would be part of the treat, you know, mentality. Unpicking that aspect, the confidence to go and try different physical activities, the confidence to say that I'm not okay, and I think I maybe need to like tackle some of these demons, and I'm ready to face them for the first time. That ripple effect, Anna, is it can't just be only me and Aaron and you. It's got to be more than us, right?
Do you know, I was just thinking, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about how I see this. And you see people who just have come in and they think they're just coming because they want to lose 2, 3, 4 stone. And then the positive shift that it has, because I think what we don't recognize when we're in the midst of it is a knock-on effect on if that confidence or you're physically feeling unwell, how when you change those things, of course, it's naturally going to have an impact. And I think it takes so much resilience to face the fact that you need to go and deal with it, and then the resilience to keep on going. I think it's almost like a celebration of the fact if you do these things, look what happens. But I think it's astounding, though, isn't it? Changing something so fundamental, yet almost so basic, you know, food we need to survive, changing that and moving more can have such a profound impact. And I just think it's the most incredible thing to watch, whether you've got half a stone to lose or an hour and 14 stone, how it can have a positive impact in everyday scenarios is mind-blowing.
Yeah, it makes a massive difference.
It's a real kind of shift of your whole foundations if you think about it, because you've learned these behaviors. And I think I'm just so inspired by you, Aaron, because I think there's a whole generation of young men who and young women who, if we don't do something soon, will in their 40s and their 50s be seriously unwell and unfit because of the things that they're doing now. And I think someone like you can have such an impact on a younger generation, to say it is doable, and I still can go out, and I still can drink, and still can have fun with my mates. And it's knowing that you don't have to give anything up to do this. Most do, you just have to change.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for me, it was sort of learning, it was completely re-educating myself with food, and it was making them changes from the processed ready meals, the pizzas, the frozen food, to swapping to sort of home cooked healthy meals. And that's by no means of any imagination saying that over the last 2 years I've not had a pizza, because I have. and over the last 2 years, I'm not saying that I've not been out and, you know, and had a drink or had a cake, because I still do that. In fact, I probably still have something, you know, once a week, because it's all about moderation. But kind of what I know is that the education that I've had in terms of the food that I now cook, and it's become ingrained into sort of my natural routine, that I know sort of Monday to Friday when I plan my meals, that naturally they are just going to be healthy meals. And you know, if I go a little bit wild on a weekend and have a good time, what does that matter? Because I'm back on it again from sort of Monday going forward.
Yeah, and you've obviously made some of those changes, like you were saying about switching the beer out. You've got that kind of change mindset, which is just already there. I mean, the report actually does talk about some of these messages. Just thinking about what you were saying there, Anna, around the messages that we kind of just take in, that treat mentality. Mm-hmm. Talks about like ideas of what is masculine, like drinking beer is masculine. Drinking gin and slimline tonic, that's not very manly.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks at those notions. But it also talks about the idea behind men just using activity, thinking if I exercise more, I will lose weight. Are you able to go into that a bit more, Anna, of why that isn't always the obvious answer for kind of long-lasting weight maintenance or weight loss?
Well, we know that the greatest way to create a calorie deficit is in the way that you eat. So if you can eat very, very filling food that's very low in calories, which is what free food is, you are going to be full, you're going to be satisfied, you're going to be nourished, and you're naturally going to be creating a calorie deficit, because the things that we're eating when we're food optimizing, like the free foods, again, they're unlimited because they're so low in energy. But we kind of measure and weigh the things that are slightly higher in energy that we will have the emotional attachment to. Now, if we wanted to go and walk off a pound of weight, is approximately, now give or take, about 11 and a half hours of walking. So you can see that actually, if we were to go to the gym for an hour a day, we're not going to be able to create the calorie deficit that we need. And also, it's a lot harder to commit to those changes. And we know food is something that has the biggest impact, and also is the thing I think we're around so much, so an easier thing to adapt. But that said, it is very key that we do remain active or become active and get activity into our lifestyle consistently. And that's why we've got our Body Magic program, which is our activity support program, so that you can build in activity at a steady pace to you in a way that you enjoy. But sadly, I think a lot of us, and like Aaron was just saying, social media, go to the gym and, you know, build your muscles and you'll create this body you want. Well, if you're still eating the high fat, high sugar, high alcohol drinks, there is no amount of weight training that you are going to train that out of. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's understanding we have to get a balance of the two. But for me, food has always been the best way to change it. It really has.
Yeah. And the research tapped on to, I think when people are going through that, I know I need to do something here, but I'm not sure where to start. It says here, overweight men take around 2.5 years to realize they are overweight, another 3 years to talk to someone about their weight worries, and then it's another year before they actually do anything about it, meaning it can take 6 years for men to take action to tackle their weight, whereas women will typically act on their weight worries in a little over 2 years. So,
but I think it's that old notion again of how women talk to each other about things. We maybe discuss things in a way that men wouldn't, or you know, maybe a bit more open. This might be a sweeping generalization, but this is what I see in my life and the communities I work with. And I think, again, I think that is changing with men. And I think that, you know, discussions are happening more openly, and it starts from school age now. But I think a lot of men as well think, when I meet them, I should be able to fix this myself. I should know better. I should just cut back. And actually, it's knowing that you need emotional support just as much as women might. So it's scary, isn't it? But knowing that hopefully by talking about it, we're going to get more ears pricking up and go, actually, I'm not going to wait 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. And like you're saying, Aaron, almost like that education, I think you used the word education, and That's definitely what I've described it. Like, I didn't really understand how to put together a proper meal, if I'm honest. I didn't really understand what it meant for me in terms of nourishment and nutrition and fuel. And, you know, when you're doing your training, for instance, you need to fuel yourself, particularly with carbohydrates, to make sure you have energy. I didn't understand that. Food was almost something that I used as a like a weapon for my emotions, and I didn't understand its function in the wider aspect. But that training that the plan offers allows people to kind of maybe just step by step ease into some of the hows that they've got to overcome.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I went into it initially, I was quite conservative about the, it probably gets mentioned a lot, but you can eat as much pasta as you want. Because in my head, 2 years ago, that was, come on, this can't be real. Like, you can't eat as much pasta as you want, kind of thing. But actually, as you follow the plan, you understand that you can't eat as much pasta as you want because you're so full off the other things that you can have as well. So your protein, your speed food, and it works. And it takes that effort out of it. I think one of the reasons why people maybe don't tackle their weight issues is because they think it's too hard. They see maybe these people on social media where they're tracking the protein, they're tracking the carbohydrates, they're tracking the fats. You know, they're doing all these aspects of the nutrition, and these people that are doing that probably have got maybe degrees in nutrition. You know, they know what they're talking about, as do the nutritionists from Slimming World. But the nutritionists at Slimming World have took that difficultness out of it because they've kind of put it all together where you don't need to count every calorie or track the protein, track the carbohydrates. You just stick to the sort of the free food groups and off you go, kind of thing.
So interesting you say that, because I'm inherently a very lazy person. I'd lie on the sofa if I could all day. And actually, that was one of the reasons I love Slimming World, because the thought of complicated and me having to do even more work, putting the meal together and not eating the crisps was enough work for me. And it's like, thank goodness Slimming World did the science, so I didn't have to engage my brain, because it would put me off. I don't know about you, but I've done things and it just, you need something that is a no-brainer sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the other things as well. Like, it put me off if someone told me you can't have that.
Yeah.
And I think nothing is off limits with Slimming World because you've just seen it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the things that would put me off as well. Yeah, it wouldn't be sustainable, would it? Whereas it's the fact that this plan is, because you can have everything that you want to have and everything that you had before you went on your weight loss journey, it makes it that sustainable.
Yeah, that's it. That is the word, sustainable, because when you look at the weight loss methods in the research, which most men thought were socially acceptable, they're talking about increasing physical activity, which you just mentioned, losing weight by themselves. I think that's not just a man thing. I think that's most people's thing. Mm. We all try and fix our problems inside ourselves for quite a long time, I think many of us, going to a GP. Then this idea about, you know, taking protein shakes or fasting diets. And I think that's where that message of, well, yes, you can eat as much free food. There are, what, over 350 foods, which are, I always have to make sure I think about this, Anna.
So the way I think about it, so I don't mess it up, very low in calories, but very filling. So opposite of sin, sins are little packages, high calorie, whereas free food is big packages, little calories. That's how my little mind gets through it. But yeah, it's almost like I'll cut out a food group and then I'll lose loads of weight. I'll just eat protein. I'll just eat chicken breasts and broccoli. I saw someone on TikTok talking about it. It's like, you can't live a life on chicken and broccoli, can you?
Because you'll do 2 weeks, you'll maybe lose half a stone and then...
You put a stone back on?
Yeah, you put it all back on again because you go back to what you used to. I know now that the meals that I have day in, day out are just naturally healthy on plan meals, and that's my go-to kind of thing.
Yeah. Food has obviously been essential for you because it has fueled you to do these marathons, Aaron. It's given you that oomph that you needed. What is next for you in when we kind of talk about like the physical health side? Are you going to keep doing marathons? I mean, where does this go next? I feel like you've done all of your dreams. What's now?
Definitely. So when I first started out, I think that was another thing that kind of kept me going, that I was setting little challenges, whether that just be initially sort of walking for longer or, getting out and actually doing my first ever run, to now obviously running the London Marathon. And I think that's helped me kind of stay focused and stay on track a bit. So I am looking to get something else booked in the calendar. I've already got another marathon booked for October. I'm going to try and beat the time, and then toying with the idea of maybe a triathlon, and potentially even, not sure I want to say this out loud or commit to it just yet, but I am thinking about potentially maybe even looking at an Ironman later down the
Great.
line.
I love this. Go back and tell Aaron at Leeds Festival, who's really struggling to miss his favourite band. You're going to go and try and do an Ironman. He would be like, well done,
Yeah,
mate.
I never would have dreamed of a potential, when I was in that field, August Bank Holiday, a couple of years ago, I would never have said you ran the London Marathon.
Oh, they're proud.
Just out of interest, because we know that people listen to this are training for Race for Life. Me and Anna are going to be walking it in a couple of weeks, but we know some people are setting out to do their first ever run race. What was your first run like? Just paint us a picture of that day. What did you do? What were you wearing? How far did you go? What time of day was it?
I'll be honest, it wasn't pretty. It was an afternoon, I think, and I'd done a lot of walking all the way through my journey to sort of get the body magic, and it was predominantly walking. And I was very conscious because, like we kind of mentioned before, I'd done bits before joining Slimming World. I thought I can do it by myself. I thought I can go just move more. You don't need to worry about the food, just go and exercise. I'd kind of done all that. And I always tell a story about when I first did Couch to 5K, and this was before doing Slimming World, and I got about 3 4 weeks in and it started snowing, and then my excuse was, well, it's snowing, I can't, it's treacherous conditions, I can't go out and do my Couch to 5K run. I think I was still using that excuse in August, when the
Oh,
sun
you're
was
like
out.
me.
Yeah, so I was quite conscious that I didn't want to put that pressure on myself to do loads of exercise and push myself too far too soon, that it'd mean that I'd then do what I did the first time, where I'd get 4 weeks in and then call it quits and not carry on. So I left it. I was probably a lot fitter than what I needed to be when I started running to start running, if that makes sense. But I think it was probably wasn't even a mile the first one. You just ran the local field, very sweaty and very out of breath by the end of it, but yeah, it was worth it.
Yeah, it's I think that's where things like the Stravas and the Garmins or whatever watches, smart watches people have or apps. I have used one particular brand since 2016, and over that period it saw me balloon in lots of weight and then also lose it. And then kind of steady out, really, kind of slight undulated, I'd say, in the last like year and a half. But the heart rate and the VO2 max or whatever they call it, just ways they measure fitness, that for me is so different to see what the same walk or the same run when you do it a few years later, and it compares like a similar route. And you see where you were then to now. It's like incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I've got obviously all the fitness toys and stuff that I've invested in now that I've kind of got into the running. And I actually went to do I was very lucky with my running club to do a VO2 max test. So he's running on the treadmill with the oxygen mask in, and it was sort of measuring it all. And I remember going off the data from my watch when I first started sort of walking, it was saying you sort of got, I think they call it the metabolic age, and it was something of like a 45-year-old male. And then when I did the test a couple of months ago, it was your VO2 max is superior. It's in the top 10% of people within your age. And it's like all the changes that I've made have just been sort of natural. It's been sort of food, and then the running's kind of just followed.
Love that.
That is amazing. And these are the wider things, I guess, that we talk about, these non-scale victories, that it's not all about the weight on the scale. It's these other aspects, like you say, I mean, your heart rate, your inches, dress sizes or trouser sizes, whatever they call it for blokes. I don't know, actually.
Waist size.
Neck size. Trouser size. I mean, could be, okay, short size, whatever it is.
My mind went elsewhere. I'm so sorry.
But, you know, these... It all counts, doesn't it? And I think what you've really helped us do today, Aaron, is think about that big picture. And if people are listening to this and they're thinking about their mental health in a way that perhaps they hadn't before, if you have been trying to do more exercise or fix things yourself and it's been a few years that you've been trying to sort this out but you're not quite sure how, you were looking in the mirror like Aaron was and struggling with how you were looking, you were unable to walk, you were feeling like you were leaving your family behind on key moments, then take the first step, I guess. Is there any advice that you would have, Aaron?
Like you say, it would just be, just do it. Just take them steps, walk through the door, find your local group. You know, you're not alone, because I couldn't have done it without the support of my group or my family or my friends, or, you know, even the social media side as well. I couldn't have done it without that. Swimming World is one big community and everyone's in the same boat, whether they're, like you say, whether you've got 14 stone to lose like me or whether you've got half a stone. Everyone's in the same boat. Everyone's working towards the same goal and everyone understands sort of the, you know, that what you're thinking and the troubles that you're going through. So you're certainly not alone.
That's brilliant. Great. Well, we look forward to following you and your your journey takes you.
Well, I've said it now, haven't I?
I've written it down, Aaron. Here on your note.
I better buy a wetsuit.
Yeah, oh, bless you.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Aaron. We wish you the best of luck.
Oh, thank you.
So we'll leave it there. But if you have been listening and you want to find out more about Slimming World, maybe you're thinking about joining, you can go to slimmingworld.co.uk. You can put your postcode in, find out your nearest group, or you can discover more about the digital only service as well. That's all from us. We will be back very soon on another Monday, talking more nonsense as always. See you in a bit.
Bye for now.